It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful day. I'm glad you've joined us. We're going to study once again the book of Philippians. If you've been with us, it seems like we've been there forever, but it's been a great study, or I sure have enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. Philippians chapter 4. We continue to read the same verses of Scripture, and the reason we need to is to hold it together. We have looked at verse 4 through verse 9, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin there once again. But today, why we are down at the 7th verse is where we're continuing the study. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 9 is what we're going to be reading. Now, I'd love for you to open your Bibles, and while you're doing that, I'll share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's good to have you with us. Now, let's take the Word of God and read it. And enjoy the study today. Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank you for your precious word, the opportunity to read it and read it freely. I ask that you will touch every heart, that the Holy Spirit will come and convict the heart of the lost sinner, convict the heart of the backslidden, and bring folks to you, Lord Jesus, that they be saved, and then that they would be in fellowship with you and see the need and the wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word of God, to search it, and to know you and to walk with you, to walk a holy, separated life. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us now as we continue this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time that we had the opportunity to meet, we looked at several things here. We had the peace of God is where we were looking in verse 7, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we need to learn And we need to enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. And the only way we're going to enjoy that fellowship is if we have our heart right and our mind right. It's a heart problem first. We need to correct our heart, and that's the need to come to Jesus for salvation and be saved, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be given this new spiritual heart, that we can enjoy and fellowship with the Lord and have true fellowship and real fellowship. Above that, you know, remember in verse 6, we talked about the prayer and the supplication and the thanksgiving. And as our walk continues to grow, and as we continue to enjoy this precious time, it can only come if we surrender our heart unto the Lord Jesus. When our heart's surrendered, then our mind will come, because we'll begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to turn away things in our mind that we desire, the old things of the world, the old habits of the world, and that He will keep, He'll clean and keep. And it's such a sweet promise that we have there. But the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Keep that always in your mind and in your heart. Always, Jesus is the only way. There are no other ways. There's a thousand religions out there. There's a thousand different gods that people worship. There's only one God. There is only one. And I ask that you look unto the only true God and surrender your heart and your life unto Him. Now here we are kept by and through the Lord Jesus. The peace of God. Now, we looked through A couple different ones. We kind of took off here a little bit because I want you to see the opportunities that you have if you come to know Jesus and if you'll walk after the Lord Jesus. We have the peace with God, and we looked that up in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have the peace from God, and we saw that in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And then we looked at the peace of God, which we have here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 9. We looked at those. We looked at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. We looked at John chapter 14, verse 27. Those are all verses of Scripture that we looked at concerning the peace that we have and why we can have that peace through and with our precious Father. Now, as we look further, we looked at one that kind of is a little bit different, but it's the one, instead of people, they're seeking peace. Folks desire so much, and they seek peace. They want peace. They want world peace. They want peace in their family. They want peace in their life. Everybody is seeking and searching for this peace, and most people are looking in the wrong place. They go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist because they just can't deal with it any longer. Let me tell you where to go. Go and to your knees. And when you go unto your knees and plead unto a righteous God, that He'll save you and that He'll forgive you. And He will. Because you see, Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary that you can be saved. Now I want you saved. I want you born again. I want that pressure released from you. And it can be released, but there's not a doctor in this world, it never has lived in this world, that can take that pressure away from you, but God can. And we have that sweet message in this precious Scripture that we study. In the Bible, as we open that Bible up, we have these words, we have these promises, and we know that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead shall be saved. And so we want this peace. But we look every place for it. We look with fancy and fast cars, and we look with fancy and large houses, and we look at so many things with this world. We look at so many things to give us this satisfaction, this peace, and I promise you it'll never come. It'll never come. I don't care how big a house, I don't care how much money you make, I don't care where you can go in the winter or to spend your winters and how nice it is there to get away from, it gets so dreary in the winter time and so I need to see that, have that sunshine. Well, I have the shining of the sun always. And that's in Jesus. Day or night, rain or shine, winter or summer, I have the shining light of Jesus in my heart and on my life. And you can have the same if you'll come to the Lord Jesus. I ask that you come to Him and you trust in Him and you walk after Him. But most people look, they don't even realize that there is no peace in their life. They're too busy trying to get it, and they don't even realize what's missing. They, again, think material things are going to take care of it. Something's going to, this world is going to satisfy, and it's not. But as you look at that, and then the other is people are a constant goal that they will attain peace in this world. They just know that it's going to come. World peace. You know, we have conference after conference around the world that peace will come. But it's never going to come. Peace will never come. We've got something that is coming. And that's the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church is when the Lord Jesus will meet His church in the air, and that is every confessed believer. Now, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, and you've come by faith to Jesus, then you are a member of the church. You are a member of the church, and you too, no matter where you're at in this world, even if you die before Jesus comes to get us, that grave will be opened up. And you'll go first. And if I'm still alive, I'll follow. Either way, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. That's the rapture, they call it. Jesus is going to come and get his church. Well, the reason that he's taking his church, all the believers, out of here is because there's something very terrible going to take place, and it's called the tribulation. And that tribulation, as it comes, will be 7 years. And during that 7 years, the leaders will seem to bring, especially the first 3.5 years of that seven, will seem to bring peace to this earth. And you're going to have rulers that of the religious and the political will somewhat join together, and you're going to have a lot of things take place, and it's going to seem to be good, and there's going to be desire to be worldwide. And boy, doesn't that sound common today, that we've got to be universal, we've got to be one around the world. Well, there's only going to be one leader, one world leader. Now, and when we get to that point, and we have the real ruler, and that's going to be in the Antichrist, the Antichrist. Now, we have many Antichrists around today. Anyone that preaches a false gospel, anyone that tells you that there's another way to be saved, is an Antichrist. That's what the Word of God tells us. We have many Antichrists now, but there is one to be to rule and to reign during this tribulation period. But he'll show his true colors the last half. And at the close of that 7-year tribulation, the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with his army and will destroy all of the enemy. Now we left last time back in Revelation chapter 19, and we read from verse 11 through verse 16. I'm going to begin once again with verse 11, and we're going to read through what's taking place. And as Jesus comes to destroy the enemy and will set up his kingdom here for 1,000 years, they call it the millennium. So we have some events here. I know you want world peace. You want everybody to get along, but it's never going to happen. But there's some things that's going to happen. One is the rapture of the church, all believers. Be saved today. I don't want you to go into that tribulation period. If you hear the gospel today, I do not believe that you'll have one opportunity to be saved during the 7-year tribulation. So you better be saved today, because that is going to be the most horrible time that ever. You've heard people say today that I believe that hell's here on earth. You haven't seen hell. You haven't even tasted. You haven't got the slightest feeling for what hell is like, because if you did, you'd fall on your knees before God and repent of your sin and serve him and come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. That's what you do. So if you're telling me that you think hell's here on earth, you've been deceived by the old devil himself. But as we go the next step, and that is that as we go into the tribulation, so you have the rapture of the church, kind of get these events in your mind, the rapture of the church, 7-year tribulation, and then the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Upon the second coming of the Lord Jesus, then he will come, he will defeat the enemy, and he will set up his kingdom here upon this earth for 1,000 years, and then we'll have peace, because he will rule and reign with a rod of iron, the scripture tells us. Now, there's going to be a short season, for a short season at the end of this 1,000-year tribulation. At that time, that Satan and his demons will be loosed once again, just for a short season. But there's going to be 1,000 years in there. So, and that's the only time that we're going to experience peace on this earth. Never and not until then. And so I ask that you listen very carefully. Again, last time we were so close to being out of time that I stopped, didn't really explain where we were going. We talked about the peace upon the earth that everybody desires, but will not be received until that time. And if you'll look now in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, beginning to read once again with verse 11, and we read this last time, and so this will be kind of a review for you. Revelation chapter 11, and we'll begin to read, and we'll read down through the 21st verse, and then we're going to read the first three verses in chapter 20. After explaining, I hope that this will help just a little bit. "And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." We have been through the rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation. Now, this is the close of the seven-year tribulation, and we're beginning the we're seeing the Battle of Armageddon beginning to take place. You've heard that term. "I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The blood to the Lord Jesus is very important. That blood saves us and kept us. He shed his blood for you and me. Please don't ever miss that. Don't deny the power and the presence of the blood of the Lord Jesus. His name is called the Word of God in verse 13. In verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God." After the destruction of all the evil in this world, of all those that follow after Satan and deny the Lord Jesus, he calls in all the fowl of the earth to clean it up. "There ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and in bond, both small and great." You see, the ignorance to come to the Lord Jesus is not kept to the poor or to the slave. It comes all the way through, from the poor to the rich, to the bond and to the free. Every one of you can deny Jesus if you want to. But I beg you today, and I plead with you today, that you'll come to Jesus. Acknowledge him. Confess him before man. Follow and be baptized, that the people will see and know, and you stand for the name of Jesus Christ. Stop standing and being in the closet all the time. Don't be a closet Christian, my friend, please. As we read last time, he's very clear that if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. Stand for Jesus, please. Verse 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that were received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image." Remember the mark of the beast, the 666, either on the forehead or on the hand? Let me read that once again after you to think about those things. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." They were tricked. Don't be deceived. "Of them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Now, I hear so often today that they see a miracle, or they see something performed, or they witness something of a teacher or of a preacher. Maybe it's a process of healing. You see that today on our television. You know, they have a healing service. When they have a healing service, why, here comes a multitude of the sick and the lame, and they touch them on the forehead or whatever they do to them, and oh, it's a miracle. God has healed them. Let me read once again. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him. The devil is mighty. And my friend, you've been duped. You've been tricked. God heals. But God heals on his own time, and his own power, and his own will. Not because a man will touch you. The miracles that were performed during the time of the disciples or the apostles is the beginning of the church. We did not have the Word of God at that time. It was not to us. It was not complete. And in order to begin the church to show the power of God, these miracles were performed. But that was a different dispensation. That was a different time. And so don't be fooled by it today. And don't be fooled by the soothsayers, the ones that think there's importance and power in the crystal. All this is the devil. And yes, the things that he can suggest and put in your mind that this is going to happen, I hope that you don't read the garbage in the newspapers when it gives you your horoscope of what's going to happen today. I hope you don't waste your time to read that. All of a sudden you get to thinking that, hey, that was right. That happened. It's the devil. Stay away from it. You have the crystal. There's so many things today that I've talked about this morning. There's so many things that I haven't talked about this morning that are the devil. We need to get into the Word of God and secure ourselves by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our life to know what's right and what's wrong. And many of you are following after false gods and false doctrines, wanting and desiring peace. But you're not going to get it. They wrought miracles before him. The devil can perform miracles. Be careful. Look what happened to them. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, the end of verse 20. Verse 21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Before we go to the 20th chapter of Revelation, look back to the 14th verse. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Remember the rapture, when all believers of the Lord Jesus vanished from the earth. Oh, there'll be all kinds of excuses that the devil placed into people's minds of what happened to us, but we're going to be gone. And we're going to be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years while you're going into the tribulation period. And again, if you heard the gospel before you went in, I don't believe you'll have an opportunity to be saved. So it's going to be the closest thing to hell on earth you ever seen. And as you face that time, and then at the close of that time, close of that 7 years, I'll be with him. And so will every believer. We are the army. As verse 14 says, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We've got our glorified bodies. We're coming down. Oh, it's beautiful, my friend, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't slip into this time, this tribulation period at all. That's who the army is. Remember the time when he calls all the fowl of the earth together to clean up all the dead bodies because judgment's coming. Just because it's been delayed for 2,000 years, you think it's not coming. It's coming. And you can see by the newspaper and the television and the radio today, as things become more and more perverted and more evil, that his time is coming. And you're going to wake up some morning and your spouse is going to be gone because they were a Christian and you weren't. They had trusted in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus, but you said no, there wasn't nothing to it, and so you didn't come to Jesus, and you weren't saved, and you're left. The children will be gone. You're going to be alone. You're going to wake up, that alarm's going to go off, and you're going to go to work just like you usually did, and you're going to roll over, and you're going to be alone. That house is going to be empty. My friend, don't miss it. Please come to Jesus today. Don't miss it. Look what's going to happen now in chapter 20, Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. Remember what we talked about. I tried to summarize it at the beginning so that you could, it would help you pull everything together. The rapture of the church, please be a part of that. The 7-year tribulation that follows. The end of the 7-year tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. And here's where we start with verse 11. The Lord Jesus on his white charger. Calls the fowl of the earth all together to devour the dead. To clean up all the dead. And he comes down to rule and to reign. But before he does, he bounds Satan. You want peace? You bind Satan. You can do that today if you'll come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And then tell the Lord Jesus to put a hedge around you and tell him to bind Satan and keep him away from you. Most people don't believe in a literal Satan, a literal devil. He is. And if you don't, he's deceived you once again. It's so sad that so many people today do not want to be a Christian because they do not want any. They think that God is just leading them around. It's just the opposite. By being a Christian, you have total and complete freedom. The freedom to serve and to praise and to honor God. And the desire of your heart will be to do that. Once you become a Christian and begin to search His Word, the Holy Spirit will direct you. And it's such a joy and such a peace. Remember that word peace will come into your heart, into your life. To have the peace of God. To have the peace of God. Now when Jesus comes to rule and to reign, and He binds Satan, and he casts him into that bottomless pit. And he'll shut him up. And he'll set a seal upon him. And he will not be released until the end of that 1,000 years. And then just for a short season. Now, I hope, as we studied this precious word today, that you were listening so carefully. And I hope that you'll recognize that you have lost and never actually have had the opportunity to have the peace of God. I want the peace of God that passes all understanding, that it keeps your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Please, that you have that peace today. That as verse 4 tells us, that you can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. It all comes down to one, and that one is Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?